Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
No. You wear them now?
No, I don't like them
either. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. We're here with Richie Byrne.
You already did it wrong. You usually go, I'm Marco Gadana. I'm Richie Byrne. Soul Joe.
Oh, I didn't know we had the pattern.
We always did it that way.
Okay. I'm Mark Riccadonna. I'm here with Richie Byrne.
No, you did it wrong again.
Say hello.
You want me to do it? I'll do it.
Our guest host.
The guest will do it.
You say, hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to
Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
I'm Mark Riccadonna. I'm Richie Byrne.
And your producer, Soul Joel.
And we're here with a special guest.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The one, the only.
Dustin Chaffin.
Yay. I'm special. What's going on, guys?
And that's what Dustin sounds like.
Yes, that's me.
We're really excited to be here because we had a great weekend.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. Yep.
We had a good time.
We set off the Soul Joel tour this weekend.
Yeah.
And the three of us were on the show, along with Mike Ciccoli and Kevin Israel, and it went pretty well, don't you think?
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Three awesome shows.
Yeah.
It was good. It was definitely fun for us all to be together
and get our rhythm. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
And the audiences really dug it. They knew we were doing something different. You know, it wasn't just the basic, here's an opener, here's a middle, here's a headliner. It was like, this is a show. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. It's
a lot of people, different perspectives.
Yeah, different perspectives.
So
it was really cool.
A lot of the people, both Friday and Saturday night, were regulars that had each individually seen you guys at different times.
True.
Whether it was at the casino or somewhere in South Jersey for Saturday. But once they saw all five of you guys were together at one place, one time, they got excited.
Yeah.
And I think all of you gave them something different. And in addition, even if they saw you before, you all had different either crowd reactions or improv. You did new jokes.
Meltdowns.
All right.
We had it all.
I didn't know if anybody was going to address the elephant in the room, but three minutes in.
Elephant in the room, really? It was the fucking late show with your best audience member heckling me.
Joel booked them. Joel booked them.
One of us had a little bit of a problem on stage, and I'm not going to say who.
I didn't have a problem on stage. I just take risk. It's something Richie's never heard of.
Hey, this ain't roast battle. Let's keep it friendly.
The whole thing is a roast battle. That's the problem with this whole thing. We set out, we try to be nice to each other, it just turns into that. We can't.
That
it's horrible.
The one thing about this weekend was pretty bad.
Oh, God.
The brutal way we were treating each other.
It's just
hysterical.
The worst. Yeah, it's like real brothers. That's how we treat each other. Otherwise, we didn't get noogies at some point.
During the question and answer part of it, when we were filming with Jason and myself, everybody was like, Joel asked the questions. I was like, I'm pretty much just getting the ball rolling, and then you guys just...
Yeah.
Just one
fun.
Thing to...
It was a lot of fun.
Nah,
we're
it was cool.
We're going to do more tours. Yeah. We have some tour dates coming up.
Yep.
October 19th.
Yeah, down at the Cathedral.
Cathedral.
Yeah,
wow, all these churches, huh?
We did a church.
Skip that.
Well, that was an actual church. This one is not a church anymore. It's an actual big event center.
You said that about the one we did Saturday, too.
Yeah,
you
and
said,
I,
this is not a church anymore.
Yeah, and I was doing, yeah.
The cross was above our
head. No. No, I didn't say that. I said Saturday is a church. It's the hall, but it's still a part of the church. No, October, now that we're here, is the cathedral is...
About church.
It's no longer a church.
It's no longer a church. Okay.
So it's been, I don't know if it's the word is disdained or whatever the word is. It's no
unstained.
Longer.
Well, it's kind of awkward being in having a cross behind you while you're telling jokes.
Oh yeah.
I thought that was a little bit
Have
of.
Have you
like
never
a,
had that before?
Yes,
have
but I was prepared for it.
Dustin, have you?
Not really. I mean, nothing like that. Where it was really funny because after I did my set, I did a lot of religious stuff on purpose, and then as I walked through the kitchen, because I was hanging out in the kitchen, I was watching, there was a group of people that were talking that were obviously part of the church. And when you guys were on stage, they were talking to each other and having a good time. Yeah, yeah. And then when I got off stage, as soon as I walked by them, they all just stopped and stared at me. And I was like the only guy they did that for.
They kneeled down.
And they were just like, what? Yeah. Everybody else are like, just minding their own business. But when I walked by, they stopped and stared.
I didn't pass away. We don't need a moment of silence.
Hey, Charlie Manson in a cowboy hat. Who's this?
Bless you, son.
Yeah,
I
felt their attention. It was weird.
I mean, I kind of grew up a Christmas Catholic. Like, I went to Catholic school, but really only attended church on Christmas and Easter.
Like,
and Easter
people.
And then as soon as I got confirmed, my mom and dad, I think, both had the same reaction. They looked at me, oh, thank God we don't have to do that shit anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we haven't been to church since.
My mother was very different.
Well,
I went to Catholic school. You went to Catholic school?
Yeah.
Because we
up
had
to fifth grade.
We had to go to church. They took attendance at church.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, hilarious. You had to be at 9 o'clock mass and all that, and they took attendance. Like, it was serious crap, man.
Yeah, my parents were very manic people. Like, it was almost like if my dad had money, then we weren't going to church. But as soon as he was broke, then we were all going to church. Like, yeah, that's how it was. It was, No, it was crazy. And then, yeah, absolutely. And then I remember at one point what turned me off about church is, remember we were, I think it was a Methodist church at this time. But I just remember we were burning our Kiss albums in the church parking lot.
And
that was when all that shit was happening with, like, Knights and, you know, Satan Service. And, like, and everybody was looking up Revelation quotes and, like, comparing them to Kiss.
Some kid committed suicide and somehow it was Ozzy's fault.
Yeah. So all that was happening. And I remember just, you know, burning, like, our Kiss albums and, like, just thinking, oh, man, it's bad enough we got to listen to the music. And then these people, you know... it's just four Jews from Queens, you know what I mean? Like, they were making it like this thing where it was
acting like Jewish grandmothers.
Yeah.
Paul, could you come over here and tune my guitar?
Really, really.
But my parents were insane. I remember they would go through different, like, it's the Bible Belt in Texas. So there's just so much crazy religion going on. I remember when I was 8, they got me speaking tongues. I remember, like, they had these people come over and put their hands on me. I'm 7. Am I really speaking tongues?
I was going to ask you
know,
something here.
Yeah.
So, like, you know how a hypnotist does something?
Yeah.
The person just fakes it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you faking it?
Yeah.
Or, like, your parents to go, oh, okay.
I think.
Or was it,
I think. I don't know.
I'm just fucking around.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't have the I'm just fucking around at 7. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not that, you know. But I just felt like it was just, like, all these people on top of me. And I just started kind of feeling like I had to make some sort of noise. So
yeah,
I was just like, blah, da, 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 you know, something. I was just, yabba dam boom, dabba dabba doo, you know.
Very early rap.
But it was just so weird.
So my
parents always did some weird religious shit. It was like they would go in and they would, you know, be in for a long time, and then they would start doing drugs again and start going crazy, and then we'd just be on this other path. And then they would come back. I remember my parents did speaking tours, like, on television and stuff. And they would get on TV and, like, you know, like, late at night when they had these Christian preachers on there and stuff, and they would basically tell their story. How they did sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and swingers, and all this crazy shit. Then they found.
That's when I'd want to hang out with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, my mom took me to Zeppelin when I was 7. There was definitely moments, but then they would go to this religious side, back and forth. It was very manic, very crazy.
I've noticed that with addicts in general.
Yeah.
That they're still addicts. They're just using it in a different way.
Oh yeah, Jesus.
You know, they become addicted to God, or they become
absolutely
addicted to health,
yeah,
or whatever. But it's still an addiction. It's just a more positive addiction.
Oh,
dry drunk, isn't that what they call it?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, Jesus is stronger than heroin, that's for sure. But, yeah.
A lot more expensive.
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends. I don't know how much, unless you're that Olsen guy. But,
So you're young, you're going back and forth with religion.
Yeah.
Did you cling to religion, or did you go more toward the rock and roll?
Yeah, I mean,
because as a kid, you're kind of lost. You're not sure what you want.
You know, when my adolescence, you know, junior high and stuff, it was all about Twisted Sister and all that stuff, and, you know, just kind of just being a regular kid, you know. But it kind of changed a little bit. You know, I was kind of a punk rock, kind of cowpunk, they called me in high school, and all this, like, weird stuff, and eye patches and cowboy hats and crazy shit. And then then I, this girl, she was like, she was sent from the heavens. Erin is her name. She was a Mormon girl. And she just, I can't even stop thinking about her. She, this Mormon girl, basically she was the only virgin in high school, you know, because, yeah. And so that was very appealing, because most of the girls were slutty, and then here comes this Utah blonde that was just like roaming the halls.
I was the only virgin in high school.
You kind of look like a Utah blonde.
You were a voluptuous blonde in high school.
So, and the thing was, it was so mysterious, because we were like, who's this girl? And she had these other Mormon friends who weren't as hot, but they were still pretty hot. And then it was like this, and then she, you know, it was stories about her. She's a Mormon. We're like, what's a Mormon? Because we're Texans. We know Baptists. We know Methodists. We know Catholic. We don't know what a Mormon is. Yeah. And so then there was like, yeah, she goes to church every day at 5 o'clock in the morning at a seminary. And they, you know, before they go to school, they got to get up at 5 a.m. and then go to this seminary and come to school. So we thought they were the weirdest people. And she, you know, no sex, no booze, no smoking, you know, this whole thing. So it was just basically, you know, I remember I saw her at a nightclub for kids. I remember that's supposed to call Monopoly Park Place. And it was basically like a nightclub for underage kids, you know, from like 16 to 18. I don't know if you guys had
dance
those. Those were awesome. Yeah. They were so much better than the regular high school
dances.
I totally
got the first base.
Yeah, playing Depeche Mode, you know, with my eyeliner, you know, trying to be cool. And so, yeah, so this chick took notice in me, and I started kind of, like, liking her and whatever. And she, you know, kind of introduced me to this Mormon lifestyle. And it was kind of like – and it was amazing, because it was like – I'd never seen anything like this. Like, you go over her parents' house, and they would sit down. They would have dinner together, all at the table. They would actually talk to each other. Nobody yelled. You know, nobody threw shit, you know.
How did they live?
Nobody was drunk. I was like, this is amazing. They're all just like talking. How was your day? What do you mean, how was your day? Nobody's ever asked me that.
Oh, my God. How was your day? Fuck you.
So it's like, and that's how they reel you in, man. They get you on this family thing. And I remember seeing the commercials, too. The commercials get you, man.
Wait, they have commercials?
Oh, yeah.
Mormon commercials?
Oh, yeah. They have the best infomercials. I mean, the same reason, and I have an ab roller, I'm a Mormon. Like,
Suzanne Summers? That's hysterical.
But it's what it is. They'll have it, and they'll send you a Book of Mormon, and then you basically...
1-800-SAVE-ME.
Yes, pretty much. See,
nowadays,
pretty much.
Nowadays, it's the shit if you can get tickets to the Book of Mormon.
Exactly. Exactly. But, yeah, so it's like all this Mormon stuff started kind of like happening, and like I would just, you know, talk to the missionaries and whatever. And so I eventually got baptized as a Mormon.
Well, and, how old were you at this time?
Right out of high school, so 18.
Wow.
Something like that. 17,
your,
maybe.
Your wildest, supposedly
yeah,
wildest years.
Yeah, I choose to go Mormon. And then, so this chick dumps me, and I'm sitting here like, really? I'm a Mormon, and you dump me? Because I was never Mormon enough. I knew it. I was never Mormon enough. So, and she ended up.
You weren't Mormon for her.
So, she basically, there was a return missionary that came back, and she ended up actually marrying this guy. She's still with him. Not that I stalk her Facebook or anything. But, she married this return missionary, and I'm sitting here, brand new Mormon, and I'm sitting there, what am I going to do? So, despite her, I become a missionary. And so I go a whole year in. You have to do a whole year. I get all the things. I go to the temple. I got the magic underwear. I do all the shit. I go to Utah. I go to Salt Lake City. I go to the missionary training center. I learn Spanish for 4 months. I learn how to manipulate people into scripture and all this shit, how to make them baptized and all this whole thing. So I'm a Mormon. I'm an elder. Like that Book of Mormon, I'm that guy. I got the bicycle. I got the crew cut. I got the tie. I got the tag. I got everything. I got everything.
Magic underwear, I believe. Crew cut tie.
But I'm total Mormon, man. I got the tie, everything, the bicycle.
Now, are you buying into it at this point? Or what are you going, like, what's in your head?
Good question. I feel like, well, I really just wanted to get out of Texas. And I wanted to get out of my family. And I wanted to get out of everything that was boring and around me. I think so, yeah. I was trying, and it's like they're so good, man. When you're young like that and you're kind of astray, they're so good at kind of manipulating you into thinking that this could be true. You know,
filling all the cracks to make you feel whole.
Dude, here's the deal. Mormons have an answer for everything. Everything. You know, why is this like this? Boom, there's an answer. Here's the scripture. Or if they don't, then there's the easy way out. Just pray about it, really. So, right. You know.
I think most religions are. Yeah. I think most women are Mormon. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, man. So they got me in on this thing, man. I'm, like, sitting there, and I'm next thing you know, I'm in South America. I'm in Santiago, Chile. And I didn't even know how this happened. And it was the weirdest thing because I was supposed to go to Spain. I was supposed to go to Canary Islands, which sounded amazing to me.
Yeah.
And then they had some bullshit. I fucked around, didn't get my visa or something, so they ended up sending me to Chile. And I didn't realize it until last minute. I really thought I was flying to Spain, and I'm like, that doesn't look like Spain. And then
same language, yeah. Different poverty.
I got out, and I was like, this is not Spain, man.
And I said, I'm a Mormon?
So, yeah. So here I am. I'm a Mormon dude, and I'm full-fledged, and I'm in this. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of enjoying it after the diarrhea, you know, after about 3 weeks of that.
Right.
And I'm in Chile. And, you know, I enjoyed being a missionary. I really did. I enjoyed the missionaries. I did, man. I was on this one island off the coast of Chile. It was Isla de Juan Fernandez. And basically, this island is, it's the, what happened was this guy, Alex Sirclerc, was like in the Navy or something. Anyway, there was a ship crashed there near this island. And this guy was the sole survivor. And he ended up making it to the island and lived on, like, you know, with a fish hook and a Bible, and like lived there for like 2 years or something by himself on this island. And so they rescue him 2 years later. He goes back to England, and that's where Daniel Defoe is inspired to write the story Robinson Crusoe Island, because this guy's this big celebrity that lived on an island by himself. So he's the inspiration to that. So I lived on this island, 200 people max. I mean, sometimes we're less than that.
Wow.
And you're just, you know, there's electricity about, you know, 12 hours a day. A lot of it was candlelight, dirt floors. You know, I lived with a fisherman. We ate lobster and fish every day. You know, it was
healthy.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah. And
no alcohol?
No, man. You're full Mormon. There's no smoking, no girls. I mean, you can't even kiss a girl on the cheek.
Really?
Yeah. You
like,
can't.
That's
a... No. Because, you know, they think that you do that, next thing you know, something else happens.
What if, I mean, well, what about true. Like your mother or yeah. your grandmother?
And let me tell you about Chile. They call them snakes. As missionaries, it's a term that we call these young girls. Because all they, I mean, and they're hot. Chilean chicks?
Oh,
come on,
God,
dude.
I bet.
And they're called island. Snakes,
the
dude. And let me tell you, the island girls, but all of the Chilean girls, even in the city, they would end up, because they wanted an American man. So a lot of times, they would, like a lot of missionaries, would come home to their little, you know, apartment or whatever, and they'd be these hot, freaking, like, 16, 17-year-old chicks naked in their bed trying to tempt the missionaries. Because
so
they
do
know
I
they're
sign
celibate.
Up to be
so yeah, this really happened to a lot of dudes. They're coming in,
I'm
and like these hot little hot chicks are sitting. It's just crazy shit like that happen all the time. I had chicks that would grab my leg under the table. We're trying to teach them about Jesus. Like a lot of it, they just wanted, you know, to
and
talk to American
to
people.
Yeah, Jesus.
I almost married a couple. You know, whatever. I'm not gonna lie. I almost
another story for another podcast.
There's one that, you know, called me a few times, but yeah. So that was great. You know, I lived on this island and
for a year.
I lived on the island for about 8 months, but the mission is 2 years. So I was in Chile for 2 years. I was all around Chile.
Wow.
I was like, this island was about 8 months, and then I was around Santiago, north, south, all over Santiago, Chile. But, yeah, man, it was cool. It was, you know, got to learn Spanish, got to, like, you know, a lot of times there would be nobody speaking English around me. It would just be, like, me and a Chilean dude, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just walking around, just talking to myself. I want to hear English. And, yeah, it was cool, man. It was definitely something that I looked outside myself, got to help people. You know, we'd plant banana trees and help people with agriculture and stuff. And a lot of times, you know, the Mormons get a bad rap, but they do a lot of good things for the communities. And a lot of times it's such poor places. And the Mormons, that's where, you know, we would feed people and shit like that. So it ended up being pretty good.
The thing is I talk, you know, we joke around and I make fun of religion or whatever just for fun. But if it makes you a good person,
yeah,
I'm all for it.
Okay.
You know? But let's say you put your year
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
You put your year in.
Well, let me back up a little.
Okay.
Here's where it gets interesting. So
I was already
you got me, brother.
No, this gets way more interesting. So, okay, and this is the early stages of it. So I'm a missionary, right? So I go to the Missionary Training Center in Provo, Utah. That's where they teach you how to be a missionary. That's where they teach you how to speak Spanish. All right, so all this is happening. And I had I was a pretty, you know, kind of womanizing kind of guy before this happened. So I ended up and this is a really funny thing that they ended up doing. So I had a visa problem. And so they ended up sending me most of the time they'll send, you know, missionaries to California, Utah, whatever, but they don't ever try to send anybody back to where they live because they don't want to send back to where your girlfriend is or your mom or your dad. They want to keep you focused. They ended up sending me back to my hometown. So I go from like rock and roll, fucking motorcycle, long hair, leather jacket, and the next thing I'm on a Schwinn with a freaking tie and being a Mormon and like ridiculous. Back in my hometown. Ended up seeing people I knew from high school and shit. They're like, what happened to Chafin?
Wow.
And I had to wait probably about 2 months for my visa before I ended up in actually getting to Chile. And so, but in the meantime,
fist fighting in ties.
Yeah, I end up getting a little sick. I end up having a little prostate problem, and so I go to a doctor, and you know it's like
this
thing.
This is before you went.
This
to
is
Chile?
While I'm in Texas waiting on my visa to go to Chile.
Was preparing for Chile.
Yes, yes. So I'm having a little thing.
I would have had the prostate problem when I was in Chile and not allowed.
So
to
I'm having
touch
a little infection, and it has a little bit to do with my dirty dick, whatever. But I'm having a problem.
We could edit that or keep it as is.
Oh, I'm not ashamed of my dirty dick. We all been there. Ain't nobody in this room.
That's his canary.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
His name,
it's dirty. My dirty dick. So I go to the doctor, right? I'm a missionary, and I go to the doctor, and the doctor's like, "All right, dude, you know, there's a couple of ways you're gonna have to deal with this. First of all, you're gonna have to jerk this out, this infection." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "You're gonna have to masturbate." I'm like, "Well, I've a vow of celibacy. I've sworn to that. Like, I'm a missionary. I can't masturbate. Like, they told me that, you know, I can't touch women. I can't touch myself." They're like, "Dude, you have to do this. Well, somebody's got to jerk you off. Like, you got to get this out
doc,
of you."
Doc,
he probably was a little more medical than that.
Wow.
But he was.
Texas medical school.
So here it is. I'm a missionary, and then I have this problem, and then I have this dilemma of, like, you know, of faith. Do I jerk off, or is that going to be against God? Is it, you know, am I going to, like, be punished for this? So this whole thing is going on.
So I don't mean to interrupt, but this infection started before you were a Mormon?
Yeah, I didn't get it. I mean, I didn't have, you know, I didn't bang any chicks while I was a missionary. It was, like, something that probably happened later, way before.
Wow.
It was weird.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, but it gets better. And so dick got good. Dick's good. Dick's solid. Healthcare, we're good. Dr. Oz, we're good. Okay. So
hilarious.
So okay, all right. So I go to this doctor, everything goes, and then I have to tell my they call like zone presidents and zone missionaries. Missionaries that are basically over all the other missionaries. And I tell these guys, I'm like, "Look, man, I went to the doctor. He told me I got to masturbate to get through." And they're like, "What?" And so then they're like, "You can't masturbate. This is ridiculous." I go, "Yeah, but I'm sick." And like, you know, who's ever heard of that being the you know, the solution? Yeah. So they basically.
It's like, "Doc said you're going to die."
In any other circumstance, it's the best medicine. But this is the only time it's uncomfortable.
It turns out I'm the healthiest man on earth.
Any other time, it's amazing. "Really? I got to jerk off? This is great." And so this doctor tells me this. And I have to tell people, right? Because I don't want
to
get sick.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah, I have to tell everybody.
You're having meetings about this.
Yes.
You're having masturbation meetings.
Yes, I'm telling people. So I tell everybody. And so then the two other missionaries are like, "Dude, we got to tell the president." Because there's a... So there's a president over this mission in Texas.
No, Reagan.
So Bill Clinton calls me.
I got a solution. Speaking of dirty.
This don't sound like a problem. Okay.
Speaking of dirty dick.
Yeah. There you go. Boom. So they basically, here's another. So the president of the Texas mission has to call, and I don't know if you know much about the Mormons, but here's the deal with the Mormon breakdown, is these people believe that there is basically a prophet that is the equivalent of Moses and Jesus, and then there's an apostle of 12, the group of 12 apostles. And they think that these guys are getting divine revelation as we speak. Believe this totally, where it's like they're getting, like, you know, instant, you know, messages from God, and it's actually happening, as opposed to the Bible where it happened, but they feel it's currently happening. So these guys are big deals to the Mormon people. So basically, the equivalent of the Pope the Pope of the Catholic Church gets a phone call about me, about me and my dick. I mean, like St. Francis, like, yeah, the equivalent.
Richie, give him the stretch sign. Let him keep going.
When these people come into a room, it's basically they're hugging and kissing their rings. That's the equivalent of these guys.
I am so impressed by you right now.
So,
this is amazing.
So they basically have, like, a prayer circle in the top of the temple, which is like the Vatican in Salt Lake City. And they, you know, all the head of all the Mormons, and they're holding hands, they're praying. I think a dove went in the sky or something.
And nobody...
so they come back with it, and they're like, you know what? You know, we talked to these people, the prophet, and all the stuff, and it's okay for you to masturbate. And so everybody like finds out that it's okay for me to masturbate. I'm the only out of 5,000 missionaries. I'm the only one at all that can legally jerk off.
You are the right-hand man in the Mormon church.
So everybody's up reading their Bible, and then, like, I'm in the bathroom, like, come on, man, that's enough. That's enough. Get out of there.
You don't have to rub it in
So they hated me. I was like the Judas of all the missionaries.
I mean,
they fucking hated
me. Wow. I mean, I can't get over that there was a huge meeting.
Oh, there was a meeting. There was a big deal.
Do you think, though, that, like, the head guys, when they got presented this, don't you think they had to have laughed a little?
I don't know.
Even not when they had to go, he has to what?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But some of these Mormon dudes, they're pretty serious about their religion and masturbating.
God, I wish I was in that room when they were
masturbating.
My God, I wish he told this at the church when we were doing stand-up.
Cowboys got a polish below the belt buckle.
Oh, my God, dude. That is
So that's it.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Was there pain involved? But like, why? And how long did it take? Not to. It didn't come out right.
No, no, dude, I thought it like a second.
Well, first of all, I'm celibate, so it took about a second. It's like, well, there
how
it is,
long did it
and
take
touched
for
it a year. It's boom. Huh?
How long did it take for them to make, like? Are you in pain at this point?
Nah, but there's. It just doesn't. Something's wrong. I'm not going to go into it too much, but it just.
Oh
it,
yeah, because God knows you don't want to open up. Jesus. No,
there's a little blood on my dick. Is that what you want to hear?
No, I understand. You have your privacy. There were men in a room talking about
dirty dick.
All right. You don't
want
to go too far here.
All right, I had a bloody dick. There you go. All right. So I had to flush it out.
How long?
It was about, you know, I mean, I made it longer than it was supposed to be.
I just want to double check.
They were like, all right, just do it for a couple of weeks. I'm like, yeah, it's been a year. It's still coming back. It's still coming back. I can't help it. Sorry, guys. Sorry. It's still here. I see it again.
All my questions are answered.
I don't remember all of the details.
Like,
it was a long time ago.
I mean, like,
I think so.
Like, that's so unfair
about a month,
to you, though.
About a
like,
month.
Make
yeah.
I'd be like, will someone please make a decision?
Yeah. But it was, it was crazy, man. It was definitely just a wild, wild thing.
You just have done it and then asked for.
You don't think like that. You think, no, because you're just like, you're so caught up in it, man. It's a cult, dude. They just fucking, they zero you in. And they basically, you think that, like, if you do something wrong, you're going to go to hell or you're going to go to, like, this place that you don't want to go to. And they really have a hold on you, man. Literally. I had a hold on myself.
Oh my God.
Drop
more
the mic.
More than you do.
But,
that's another. Take the mic out of the stand just so you can drop it.
Yeah.
I think that answers the question, and I think this is a perfect spot.
I think that's amazing. Yeah. I will say that I will never be a Mormon. There is no way.
I mean, they're good people, you know.
I could be
it's
a Mormon
just
for like about half a day.
I was Mormon for about 6 years, and I was celibate for about 6 years, except for that touching myself. So you know,
oh my God.
Yeah, I was. I made up for that dirty dick.
Yeah,
and you know, I went to BYU for a year. And then I transferred here to New York, went to art school, Parsons, and then, you know, met some chicks from Amsterdam and smoking pot. Next thing you know, you're not Mormon anymore. Once the titties come out, you know, you're done.
I was, wait, what?
He was just waiting for those credits to transfer.
Exactly. So, I love the Mormons. They're good people, but it wasn't for me, you know. Boom. That's it.
It's
that's
not
my
for
story.
Me either.
Yeah, I get it.
And I think you're right. I think on that note.
Good night.
Thanks for having me, guys. That was fun.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.